Blog Talk Radio.
Work for the government.
Well, yeah, there's that. Thank you, Jesus. But still, I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what the hell?
I don't even understand it. I don't even understand it. I don't understand why.
Well, we know why. I mean,
yeah, but knowing, but we know why, but we don't know why. You know what I mean? It's like, I know why they would do that, but why would they do it?
It's just an amazement. It's just an amazement. It's just an amazement. For those who have been stuck under a rock for the last couple of days, and by a couple of days, I mean since, like, 2008. And don't understand what is going down, we're going to get into what's been going down tonight. We're going to talk about what's happening in the government tonight. We're going to discuss a couple of things. Hopefully we can raise some awareness, challenge some convention of what's happening, and then heap praise on those who we elected who are actually trying to do their freaking jobs. But before we get started, I'd like to open the floor to my dear, wonderful friend from the left coast with her insight on something that I caught on her page today. If the ZA kicks off behind this, how you gonna start attacking people over here in Washington D.C. when I can't even get you to get on a plane to come visit a brother? What's up with that?
Zombies have determination and they've been known to not eat for months. I will walk.
But you got a car. You can drive.
Zombies don't drive. And guess what? The zombie flu isn't instantaneous. The minute I feel it coming on, I'm headed that way. Now, tell people why I said that.
Well, because you mean.
No, because since the government shut down, what's not operational right now?
Oh, the CDC is not supposed to be operational right now.
And the FDA.
And the FDA.
So, there's that.
But neither is the USDA.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Neither is the FAA.
I already got it. I got the USDA and the FDA mixed up.
But same difference, as far as I'm concerned. the chemicals, you know, and the food going to be coming down on people.
Oh, Lord, I can't.
And why is the government shut down? Because
John Boehner has no balls.
John Boehner, you know what? Let me tell you something. This man kicked up more crap about Nancy Pelosi before he took over the speakership. And if Nancy Pelosi was bad as a Speaker of the House, according to him, then he's a freaking Irwin Allen movie. At least Nancy Pelosi had control of all the people in her party.
Mm-hmm.
This man is fighting wars externally and internally with his party and with from outside of his party. And he's not winning any of them. He looks like freaking Howdy Doody up on the podium trying to figure out which string to be pulled so he can say what he wants to say. I'm sick of him.
I'm sick of it, too. It's so ridiculous.
America, in case, again, if you've been under a rock and haven't really been paying attention, according to some, and I'm using my air quote fingers, Americans, two pieces of legislation went into effect today. Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act. And they don't like Obamacare, but they're going to check on this Affordable Care Act. I'm sick with this.
It's the law of the land.
But before we get into that, well, we should get into that before we get into the government shutdown. Let's get into that before we get into the government shutdown. How can a party that has traditionally been identified with intelligent elitism trickle down economics, extreme capitalism, and creating jobs because they are, after all, the party of job creators. Completely corrupt that, bastardize that, and now they've not only refused to have, create, endorse, pass a jobs bill, but for the second time in 20 years, they've shut down the government and put almost 1 million people out of work.
I'll tell you what, if Ronald Reagan could remember where his grave is, he's spinning in it.
And you want to talk about the economy being bad? You have people who cannot buy gas, buy groceries, can't buy clothing, commodities, are afraid to even plan vacations or do things because their paychecks have now been shorted. And there's no end in sight. There's no, like, this is only for 2 days, a month, or anything. This is the government is supposedly shut down right now. People are going to not want to go out and spend, and nothing stimulates the economy more than people having jobs and spending money, buying goods and services, and circulating that all up, paying taxes, and perpetrating the wheel that is the United States. They stuck
their foot
out in front of themselves while sticking their fingers in their ears and walking with the eyes closed. What the living hell?
And it's not just the government.
What the living hell?
it's not just the government workers. It's the woman or man who has the sandwich cart that is nobody's buying anything from today.
This is what they were elected to do. They were elected to come to Congress, to come to Washington, D.C., and, excuse my French, fuck shit up.
You know?
How is this helping?
It's not. And I think the bigger question is, what is so detrimental?
How has this made things better for America and American? Tell me, Kamal, because I really don't know.
I don't know either.
I really don't know.
I don't know either. I'm trying to figure out what is it that's in Obamacare that is so detrimental that it's worth 2 million government employees not being able to work, 800,000 of whom may not ever get a paycheck, not to mention all the peripheral services, you know, the Starbucks on the circle that's empty today, the little cafe that didn't sell but one sandwich today. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just not to mention the people who get the services that are harmed, the veterans.
Right.
If this thing goes on for another 2 weeks, our wounded warriors are not getting a paycheck. Nothing. They are not getting the disability check. If you are disabled and need services, aside from being in the military or a veteran of a military, good luck with that. Like we talked about earlier, I may get the zombie flu because the CDC ain't investigating nothing right now.
They're investigating how to get a part-time job. That's what they investigate.
Right.
They're investigating how to go in the private sector.
Right, and you know what? If we wake up in 3 weeks and all of us got E. coli because the USDA hasn't had inspectors out there, I'm going to do some damage. You know, and I mean, you and I talked about it. I have been going between rage and just extreme sadness. Because rage, for obvious reasons, but I'm sad because all these people are suffering for no damn reason. You know, my cousin Lil TL, she's at work right now, not getting paid because she got furloughed. But she works for the court system, so she has to be there. Crime don't stop. Court cases don't stop. I'm pissed on her behalf. And I'm hoping that, you know, this time that she's working where she's not getting paid will eventually be converted into PTO or something like that. But she's not the only one. There are dedicated, good American citizens who, even though they're not going to get a dime today and they are not considered essential, they're going to show up to work, and they're going to get the job done because that's what we do. And I don't see none of these representatives giving up their money.
Well, it's funny because some Democratic congressmen have said that they will write a check back to cover the amount of time the government is shut down. Some of them said they will donate some of their They would donate the salary that they do not get to different charities and causes. Some have said, now none have done, but some have said. Haven't
you
seen
know
any
what?
Republicans
I'm not even trying
say
to hear
this
noise.
Yet. Haven't seen any Republicans say it. Definitely haven't heard any Tea Party Republicans say it. And this is what's so funny to me. These people draw a paycheck from the government regardless. These people get health care and health coverage from the government regardless. Right? But under the guise of helping their constituency, they are screwing their constituency. Because the same little stupid SOBs that elected them are the same ones now who
cheering
run those
mom. Cheering
them on. Right. Cheering them on, but they run those little mom-and-pop shops that are outside of military bases here in the United States. They're the ones who have gas stations near federal buildings. They're the ones that have little flower shops, you know. All these people who don't realize that their little ancillary income, or maybe their primary income, is dependent upon certain aspects of the government working, though they don't work for the government, they're going to suffer behind this. These are the assholes that elected the assholes who are doing this.
Right, and, you know, they're just so gung-ho to do this and, you know, support Cruz and whatever. And, okay, let's say they don't work for the government. What if their VPs decided tomorrow, hey, I don't feel like paying y'all no more. You don't need to come in. Can they pay their house notes and their car notes and their electricity bill and put food on the table? All because the whim of somebody else just decides, I'm just gonna close shop today, and y'all just gotta suffer. It's
so
ridiculous.
We making a point. It is. It's more than ridiculous because they're making a point. They're standing on principle. The principle is we can't go around taking care of the people who elected us to take care of them.
But you know what? You and I both have our principles, and we both have our convictions. But we would never let those principles and convictions stand in the way of people's livelihoods and feeding their children and running their households. There comes a time where you have to decide, you know, what is more important, putting a million people out of work? Just because I don't like something that I can't change. It's not going nowhere. And that's the killer. Obamacare is not leaving. It's not going, no matter what you do. What are they expecting the president to do? All of a sudden sign a law that says, I revoked Obamacare? It's not going to happen. What are they trying to gain?
Money from the
court. I hate them all.
That's all I can think of. The only thing I can see them gaining is money from the Kochs, the Koch brothers, the Koch people, not the Coca-Cola people, the K-O-T-H people.
And, yeah, what did they do today? Nothing.
Spent a lot of time doing jack shit.
They didn't do nothing today. They did the whole photo op of them sitting at a table, you know, cancer sitting at a table, wanting to talk to Democrats, and the Democrats' side of the table being empty. See, they don't want to talk to us. You know what, asshole? It is a proven fact, an irrefutable fact, that Senator Patty Murray, my Senator Patty Murray, tried 18 times this year, starting in January or February, to sit down and discuss the budget with you guys, and they refused. Representative Chris Hollingsworth from Connecticut, same thing. He has the bill to prove it. He tried to get the bill on the floor several times to start talking about this. He started back in April, and they wouldn't bring it to discussion. So as far as I'm concerned, they've been planning this from the get-go. If they wouldn't talk to Patty at the beginning of the year, they've been planning this for a while. And they want people to think it's just, you know, spur of the moment, and they're letting Cruz run with it. It was going to happen with or without Cruz. Ain't doing shit. They need to be on that floor for the next 37 hours trying to get this done. But they don't care.
It shouldn't take 37 hours. It should take someone saying, what the f- look.
Right.
Let's
right.
get real. You think the government's too big? I'm going to give you an argument that the government is too big. I'm going to agree on a certain level that the government, the federal government, the United States federal government, is probably involved in too much. But the federal government, the United States federal government, is not running your life. Don't let them fool you.
But you know what, Yael? Okay, let's agree that the government is bloated. You do what every other institution does when they need to trim the fat. They first start offering retirement packages. I'm sure they could shave off 10% of their workforce if they gave them a golden parachute. And then you start looking for redundancies. But you don't shut the whole damn thing down. You start looking closer at waste, fraud, and abuse. You know, put all your money in people finding that. You know, it's costly, but in the long run, you could probably pay a couple hundred million to save billions. But you don't do this. You don't mess with people's ability to take care of their families.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Kamal, and we had this discussion back during the last election, and we discussed it during the last election, and it was my biggest, the biggest bee in my bonnet about Mitt Romney. You cannot run the United States government like a successful private industry business. It doesn't work that way. In a perfect world, it would, but it doesn't. There is a lot of redundancy. There's a lot of bureaucracy. It's built into the system, and nobody can change it overnight. You can't change it in 4 years. If you wanted to change it in 4 years, it's just not going to happen. It's just too freaking big. Can you make cuts to start saving nickels? Hell yeah. I've worked inside the United States government. I've never been a government employee, but I've contracted in the government. To get just office supplies is an exercise in determination that would not be tolerated in private business, but you can't.
And does it take an act of Congress?
No, it doesn't take an act of Congress, but it takes a lot of paperwork through the GAO. You know, it's ridiculous, but that's how it is. So don't come in, don't say I'm going to come in and I'm going to change everything because I've run successful businesses and I've cut people and I'm not afraid to get rid of certain agencies in the government because they are not doing what we want them to do and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's some bull crap. From jump, you're opening your mouth with bull crap, and people are buying it because they don't know. But because the bureaucracy is so thick and so deep and so entrenched in our society, our government, it's a big ship. It doesn't turn quickly. So don't start off with this bull crap that, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to make changes and everything's going to be better because I know what I'm doing. I've run private industry. You didn't work in the government. You may have been governor for a term in New England and in Massachusetts. It's debatable how successful that tenure was, but you know it's not an easy thing to turn state government. It really is harder to turn federal government. But besides that, because of the bureaucracy, because of what you have to swim through, you have a lot of redundancy. And you have good people in there who are trying to change it. But just to institute change requires a lot of bureaucracy. So you do have people that probably should have retired 20 years ago. You do have a lot of people who are just sitting there collecting a paycheck, watching the clock.
And I think we both can agree that, you know, that is one place to start. Yes, I understand it's not like a private industry. Yeah, I worked in education for a long, long time. That's as close to working for the government as I've ever come. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of, why are you doing it that way when it's easier this way? And, you know, that, like, from office space, well, I'm going to need you to fill out the TP15 report.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can start with getting rid of, I shouldn't say getting rid of, asking people very convincingly to retire. You know, get those people out of there, get them on a pension. Because, you know, I'm sure you and I both know that there's somebody 77 still working for the government. Now, is it, we do have to look at the other side of that. You know, with the economy being the way it is, it may be that people still have to work. They can't afford to go on pension. But at the end of the day, however it's done, this is not the way to do it. They're not saving any money by shutting down the government because it's costing them so much. It's costing the state so much every day that the money they save with the government being closed is just not worth it. The tourism dollars that they're losing, the peripheral businesses that are losing money, the overworking of the essential employees is costing money. You're going to have to pay so many people double overtime. It's just wrong. And not only is it wrong from a process standpoint and a practical standpoint, morally it's wrong. This is morally reprehensible to me. I just would never get in the way. I just keep thinking about people who have to raise their family. You know, I'm not even thinking about mortgages and house notes and credit card bills. I'm thinking about, it's September, I got my heater on. You know, what if these people are going to end up suffering so much that if they manage to keep a house, they're not going to be able to heat it and they're not going to be able to put food in it. And it's going to break my heart the first time some news report shows a government employee at a food bank. Somebody employed at a food bank because of these assholes. You know what? I will start screaming Attica and I will march on Washington myself.
Well, not only a food bank, but what's going to happen when the first federal employee who has been furloughed for 2 weeks and can't make their heating bill tries to heat their house with a kerosene heater inside the house and fires get started and people get put out of the house because they're burnt out. And
you know,
let's take that and bust the other myth. Not every federal employee makes good money. The majority of these people are making $35,000 to $55,000 a year.
Oh, right. Absolutely. You know, I don't even know why they got it twisted that these government employees, most of these government employees, I would say 75% of them are middle class like you and me.
Yep.
You know, the bloat in federal government does not come from salary, not by any stretch of the imagination. The bloat comes from the system being abused, if you will, and nobody in the accountability office or whoever is supposed to be responsible not making sure that they're not paying $7,200 for a hammer.
Right, and all that also being driven by lobbyists and special interests who are getting people in the government, like you say, to spend money that would never be spent in private industry on crap that is never needed or may be needed in private industry that you're not going to pay in private industry. Like you said, a $7,500 hammer.
Oh, yeah, and the quote is coming from all these earmarks that these stupid-ass Congress people get put in their bills. that end up forcing the government to spend $2 million studying how geese fly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to be real, they are the source of their own problems. And the pay raises they give themselves every year. No, And they're counting on us not knowing this stuff. You see, they're counting on us not knowing that Patty Murray and Chris Hollingsworth tried, you know, 22 times together to get them to the table. Or that, you know, the government employees are not the ones, are not the robber barons. You know, they think we're stupid. They don't know that I sat up here and figured out that this has been on the table since the beginning of the year. They were planning this mess.
Was even longer than the beginning of this year.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to put you on mute, America, because I'm in a torrential downstorm.
Because it never rains in Seattle.
Shut up. It's raining really bad.
It's the driest, most temperate state in the Union. No, but we got to remember, why was there sequestration, or seahorse castration, as I called it? Why was there these budget compromises to push things down the line over and over and over again? It has been this way because they have been building up for this. This is the fight they wanted to have. And why did they want to have this fight? Because they can't stand that the people of this nation elected this man to be the president of this nation. They fought it harder than they fought any election ever, and they got beaten resoundingly both times.
Both times.
It wasn't a narrow victory. It didn't, as much as they want to believe, it relied on Ohio and Florida. It really didn't rely on either. Right? We all remember Karl Rove on Fox.
Oh, yeah. You know what that reminded me of? Oh, my God. What movie was that? Oh, it reminded me of Trading Places. When he's like, get the machine back on! Get them back on! That's what that reminded me of. Karl Rove was like, wait a minute, this ain't right. How can this be? I can't be wrong. No, the numbers are supposed to go this way. I'm surprised we even hear from him anymore.
Because he this is how he remains relevant. But we all remember him. We all remember him forcing the bean counters to count the beans again.
Turn the machines back on!
You can't do this. There's been a Duke on the exchange every year.
Right.
It opened. But the irony of it is, and the hilarity of it is, even if Karl Rove had been right, by the time everything rolled over to the West Coast, your state, California, Hawaii, just it was a wrap. And scene. You know,
right.
It was over.
But you know what? And we have to say it again. Obamacare is law. Done deal.
And the president said it today himself. It passed the House. It passed Congress. It was deemed constitutional by the Supreme Court.
Right. Even though Tom Hall's camp, the representative for Kansas, is telling all his constituents on his website that it's unconstitutional. See, you know what? I just love how these Republicans just lie, and then their constituents just take it at face value. That is an outright lie on his website. Morris Guy Locampo pointed it out today, this morning, and just before the show, I went to his website to see if he had corrected it. He'd had 7 hours to correct it. It's still up on his website that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are unconstitutional. I mean, well, Obamacare and AFCA is the same thing, but you know what I mean. Is
right.
Unconstitutional.
And he did. You know why it's still up there, Kamal? Because it's not a mistake.
No, it's not a mistake. No, that's the lie he's putting forth. That's
mm-hmm.
what he wants people to know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, we as Americans, we don't follow up on stuff. We don't do our own independent investigation. And he's not going to take it down. He's never going to take it down. But the bottom line is, to your point, it's a law. It's a constitutional law. Move on. You know, they've spent the last 5 freaking years trying to overturn Obamacare and overturn Roe v. Wade and not one flipping job bill. And then, not only have they not tried to push forth the job bill, they just killed 2 million jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is wrong with these people?
And again, as you said, that's 2 million federal employee jobs. Right? So let me just add to this number for you. The government agency I worked for hires contracting companies to augment the staff. We all notice from what happened with the kid who flew to Russia now. We all know about the technical, the Booz Allen Hamilton companies. We all know about the federal contracting technical agencies that come in and have people inside the government doing work, right? So let's look at that number. But besides that, they have smaller contracts with cleaning staff, which is usually a company that hires handicapped individuals to come in and do work. People whose idea of making it in the world, finally, though they're challenged on a lot of levels, is they get up, they go to work, and they empty trash cans every day at a government office. They're out of work today.
Or it's single mothers working their second job at night cleaning offices so they can take care of their kids. Yes, that's a stereotype, but it's not completely untrue.
It's not completely untrue. And then when you go to if you work for a federal government agency and you have a cafeteria in your building, the people working in the cafeteria aren't federal employees. They're contractors. They may be making minimum wage to spoon spaghetti onto your plate.
How about the public works? How many people did you work with took public transportation?
Exactly.
I'm sure there were some empty buses and trains today.
How about the security guards who make probably $40,000 a year to augment the federal security force at a lot of these installations? So we're talking, 2 million federal employees, but probably another 600,000 ancillary, non-technical, non-highly paid contracting companies and contractors.
What about the doctor at the CDC who had to leave the zombie flu, roll it in a petri dish so I can catch it?
Wait a minute. What about the lab assistant who was supposed to turn off the centrifuge?
Right. But
couldn't come in to turn off the centrifuge today.
Wait, can you tell I'm pretty pissed about this?
But then,
and
you know
now,
what? But let me make this point to that as well. Not only will it in the long run cost them money because they sponge stuff down today. Not only is it costing people jobs, money, and effort, because a lot of federal employees had to show up to work to get a letter to say that they were furloughed. But you're turning things off. But you got to spin stuff back up when this is over with. You got to go in. So you got things that didn't work, that haven't been working because of the shutdown, are going to have to be restarted. Processes are going to have to be kicked back in. And a backlog that's happening every minute of every hour of every day in a lot of these agencies is going to have to be taken care of. And what does that mean? That means federal employees are going to have to work extra hours, some to make up the money, some to get the stuff done.
And another group, daycare centers, daycare providers.
Daycare providers, exactly. People who take care of the kids, who take care. Yep.
I'm not taking my kids to daycare today because I'm home at work. I'm home from work. Boy, these assholes. And you know, obviously, I'm a soccer mom, so I'm at soccer practice. But what's going on C-SPAN right now? Anything?
No. Who's running the cameras? You can't get in the building because the federal buildings are closed. So the cameras aren't on. Shouldn't be.
They're on, but there's nothing to see. Because they're not handling business. They're too busy calling in for photo ops, you know, about empty chairs and whatnot. You know what? Where's Ted Cruz? He can stand on the floor for 21 hours and talk about green eggs and ham. How come he's not on the floor now? He wouldn't be saying anything I wanted. But why does he get to take the day off?
And here's the other thing, me, Ted Cruz. He's been in Congress about an hour and a half. He's picking up more dirt because he wants to be president. And if you look at things from a certain angle, he's trying to follow Obama's path. From a certain angle, you got to look at it, he's trying to follow Obama's path and use everything that Obama used to become president that he and his ilk railed against as Obama became president.
But you know what?
Follow the same path.
O'Breezy never stood up on the floor for 21 hours.
No.
O'Breezy never talked this much shit. Never.
But O'Breezy, as you call him, I call him Barry because we're close. Barry went to Congress with an agenda. He gained notoriety, and he rode that and common sense along with common sense ideas to become president.
You know what? If I have to say President Ted Cruz in my lifetime, I'm moving to Antarctica.
You won't.
I will
you
move
won't. Because
to Antarctica.
You won't. Because what did Ted Cruz and the Tea Party and the sore losers, what was their battle cry? He wasn't born in America. And you were one of the first people, if not the first person, I heard say, according to Constitution, he does not have to have been born in America as long as his mother was an American citizen.
That's right. I like to say the woman's womb is its own little United Nations.
You.
Yep. As long as your mother is a citizen, she has to have been a citizen for at least 5 years, and 5 years ago had to have been prior to her 18th birthday.
Right.
There you go.
My mother was the first one to say, if you want to find out if the man was born in the United States, check his mother's visa and passport. Where was she on his birthday? Because I guarantee you, wherever the hell she was, he was born.
In Hawaii.
Right. And her passport may not say Hawaii, but it can't say Kenya. It can't say Singapore.
No.
Right? But be that as it may, when Ted Cruz tries to launch his campaign, it's going to be different than when Sarah Palin showed up on stage with her pregnant daughter who was knocked up because she was a party girl. And that double standard of if Obama's daughter was in the same situation, it wouldn't have been a great American story, as they try to say now, or as they try to say about Sarah Palin's daughter and her dysfunctional family. People are going to say, wait a minute, it's documented that you were not born in this country. How can you have it both ways? How can you say the president wasn't born in this country when he was, when you clearly were not? And, excuse me, Cruz is not an Anglo-Saxon name, just like Obama is not an Anglo-Saxon name. So come with it, because we're waiting for it. And I guarantee you, any black person in this country who was as outraged as you and I were over the crap that they were saying then, stay to this day, should stand up and say, wait a minute.
Right.
Why is
it
okay for you?
Because it's Canada. That's what they're going to say, our cousins to the north. Canada is a quote-unquote white country. It's not some country in the dark continent of Africa or some brown country. That's what they're going to do.
Well, they're going to try it.
Exactly what they're going to do.
They're going to try all sorts of things, but you know what? No matter what they try, we're going to be there. We're going to be there.
Oh, you know we are. And you know what? His father still has a funny accent. What's up with that?
Yeah, plus he is a Hispanic man born in Canada. So your family was from south of the border. You were born north of the border, and you're trying to become president of the country in the middle?
Yeah, isn't his father, like, Cuban?
Yeah, his father's Cuban.
Oh, he's from that communist country? Oh, we can't have him in the White House, because next thing you know, we'll have the descendants of Fidel Castro in there and communists, just like those socialists and the Muslim Brotherhood that Obama brought in. He's going to bring in some communists. I bet you he's got some cousins over in Cuba that agree with the Cuban regime. Now, we're not going to hear none of that.
No, not from their side, but we're going to be talking it. We're going to be talking it. We're going to be bringing it up. But I'm here to tell you, 2016 ain't going to be Cruz's party.
No, and you know what? I hope everybody remembers today, a year from now. Because that's when these people need to be voted out. And I
Go ahead. Finish your point.
Then I hope anybody running against Boehner and Cantor, and, you know, Cantor had a close race last time, uses this and points out what they did. This should be, everything that happened yesterday should be a campaign commercial for the other side come the next election.
2014 should be transformational.
And you know
if
what?
Not,
It will be our duty to bring it up every single week. Remind
exactly.
our voters what happened. we'll be seeing. Remember a year ago? Remember a year and 2 weeks ago? Remember a year and 3 weeks ago? This bullshit happened. And you know what? And I'm getting agitated just thinking about it because we are on the precipice of a recovery. You know, the joblessness has been holding steady at around 7.3, which is still too high, but we have been making a recovery. And if they keep this going on for a long time, the recovery we made is going to hell. The job numbers, the unemployment's going to go back up because of all the contractors who aren't working, and then bankruptcies are going to go up because most people don't have 5 months of bills saved up. I don't have 5 months of my mortgage saved up. You know, they effing with the wrong one. And I'm starting to feel like those crazy people with 10 hats because conspiracies are coming in my head. Oh, they did this because he's black. Oh, they did this because they don't want the economy to recover. You know, they want, and they did this because they want to take, they want to take light away from Obamacare being a success. They're just doing all kinds of stuff to do whatever they can to harm this man. And I hate the fact that I'm wearing a tin hat. I really hate it.
Well, okay, so let me just backtrack on that for a second, because it's not a conspiracy theory when it's so obviously being done. The singular milestone of President Obama's presidential legacy. Every president has at least one, good or bad. But the legacy of his presidency is the Affordable Care Act. So to think that this man and his party and the country would want to roll that back, or he would be willing to compromise on his legacy, is ridiculous in the extreme.
In the extreme. And you know what? He said, I'm not negotiating it, and I don't blame him. And that's another thing that's making me sick. Oh, the president will negotiate with Iran and the Russians, but he won't negotiate with the Republicans. Well, you know what? Maybe because the Republicans are a bunch of big assholes. Maybe that's why.
And maybe because Iran knows that Obama says, I'm going to do this to you, he will do this to you. And they respect the fact that he is the elected president of this country, which they don't.
Right. Right. And how about if the fact that he will talk to the Iranians and talk to the Russians and won't talk to Republicans, that says a lot more about the Republicans than it does Obama. That man is tired of wasting his breath over some nonsense.
Right, because he has tried to talk to them, and they haven't been willing to talk back. They can say, oh, well, we're not, you know, we've been trying to talk to him. No, you haven't. You've been trying to intimidate him and pressure him. And he, you know, this is his way. You and I have different ways of how we would have handled the bullshit when you back us in the corner. But he's allowed them to hang themselves so many times. And like I said, he's compromised on things with Seahorse castration and move dates back and trying to get, the debt ceiling increased. All these things they've tried to lead to this, he's given a little. And as much as it hurts, and I know it hurts him, their big play is just what he needed. If you want to ignore what happened with the Voting Rights Act, if you want to ignore what the Republicans have tried to do with women's rights, if you ignore...
Oh, wait, yeah, let me interrupt you real quick. I have not researched it myself, so I'm prefacing it with that. But I heard that when you sign up for the Affordable Health Care Act, you also are given the opportunity to register to vote. If that is true, that might explain some of this bullshit the Republicans are playing.
I'm not saying that's not true. I haven't researched that. That's the first time I've heard it. It's the first time I've heard it. But if you ignore all of those warnings, all of those instances of where they have shown you that they don't give a damn about you, if you ignore the fact that they completely ignored his impassioned and brilliant speech about sign this jobs bill to prove that they don't care about you having a job, even though they want to rail against the president because he hasn't created jobs, when he gave you a jobs bill and you totally ignored it. If you want to ignore all that, remember this. They don't care if you live or die. They don't care if you can take care of yourself from a health standpoint. All they care about is that everyone has guns and has easy access to them. And that's some crap. That's some crap.
Let's just talk about this for a second. They have done everything that they can to make sure you have a gun. They have done everything that they can to make sure you cannot have an abortion. They have done everything they can to try to make sure that you don't get health care. What have they done about getting a job? Nothing. Nothing.
What have they done to make sure that your children can have a legacy to stand on because they can be on your health care coverage until they're 26? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
It's a damn shame. And it makes me sick that I have fellow citizens, even though we are on different ends of the coin, different sides of the coin, who are rejoicing in this government shutdown. I don't understand it. You know, there's a bigger picture here. Your little issue with bloated government is bigger, is smaller than this. You know, it's similar to during the debate when that military man said that he was gay, and they booed him. And there was another question, I think it was a question on a death penalty, and the crowd cheered. That made me sick. What is wrong with people? You know,
because it's been proven over and over again that the people who are unwilling to educate themselves, like you said, to investigate what they're being spoon-fed, can be coerced into voting against their own best interest. We've talked about this for so long, and people can come at me about it. I don't care. I will be more than happy to argue them down the line. The founding fathers of this country, this great experiment that we have today, were not interested in we the people being every American citizen. They didn't fight against the crown so that the people who were frontiersmen out there on the front line trying to scratch out a little bit of dirt so they can start their own lives, they weren't concerned about them. It was a bunch of rich men who were trying to hold on to more of their money, their taxes, and not pay extra to the crown for selling their goods and services overseas. But you can't have, you can't have 26 guys fight an army of occupation. You can't do it. So what do? You get those frontiersmen out there. You get the people who are cobblers and stonemasons and bricklayers and carpenters. You get them to get riled up.
Right. And their metaphorical descendants think that Obama is three-fifths of a person still.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets three-fifths of the credit and five-thirds of the blame.
Hello.
For everything. You know, it just sickens me. I mean, I expect better of my country. I really, really do. I expect better of the people who run my country. I expect better of my fellow citizens. I mean, it's painful to me to watch them do this just because they don't want him to have a positive legacy. And they don't want him to have a positive legacy because he's black, because not because he's a Democrat, because they haven't pulled this level of bullshit with any Democrat that I'm aware of.
Well, they tried it with Clinton, but not to this level. But
well,
what was Clinton called? What
level.
Was Clinton called? What did we call Clinton?
Yeah, the first black president.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, even still, you know, like I said, in my knowledge, they have not pulled this level of bullshit with anybody.
Not to this level. They really haven't. Not to this level.
Now, you know, the whole Clinton impeachment thing, that in and of itself is one thing, but they did not do this to Clinton his entire pregnancy, his entire presidency. You know, and what they did to Clinton was bad. It wasn't no joke. But the American people made them pay for it.
And they're going to make them pay for it again. They're going to be, they should be, swept out of, if they're not swept out of office with extreme prejudice, I guarantee you their majority in the House will be threatened.
Right, because it wasn't a huge blowout this last time.
No, it went down to the wire.
I mean, you know, they have a comfortable majority. But, you know, 300 is a blowout.
Right.
Weren't those like the Reagan numbers at one point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, like the Reagan numbers were like 300 to 100 and something. And that is a hint for your ass right there. But that's okay. That is okay. You know, the only thing that I worry about is the gerrymandering that they've done and the voter suppression stuff that they've been doing. If the Democrats don't make headway in November of next year, then we will know without a doubt that all this voter suppression stuff and gerrymandering they've done worked and worked well.
I'm going to tell you my belief. Their successful gerrymandering, or the success of their gerrymandering, will be as successful as the Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania stating that voter suppression had won Mitt Romney the election in Pennsylvania. And to keep, again, to keep voting against or trying to vote for repeal of the Affordable Care Act 41 times. To then try to hold the government hostage behind the Affordable Care Act.
And hostage is a good word.
Not to be confused with what you have with your hotcakes.
You're an idiot.
I am. But to bring it to this over, and let's get, I mean, come on, let's stop bullshitting America and ourselves and trying to be the good guys and try to sugarcoat everything. The whole idea for the Affordable Care Act came out of a think tank for the Republicans. Now they're against it. Why are they against it?
Hello.
Because Obama got it through. It was way past time for it to happen from a standpoint of America being supposedly the greatest country on the planet. But the time was right for it to happen now. And it happened. But more importantly, because President old black guy was elected and this was his agenda and he got it through.
Oh, black guy.
They are running face first into a jagged mirror to try to derail it. And it's not going to be derailed. It's not a bad law. Does it have flaws? Yes. Can those flaws be fixed? Yes. But we're not going to defund it. We're not going to vote. The American people are not going to vote to not have health care. And I'm here to say, I think the penalty for not signing up for it if you don't have health care shouldn't be some heavy fine. It should be your dumbass should have to drink battery acid and stand outside in the rain until your guts rot because nobody is going to be allowed to save you because you don't have health care.
Right. You can come to emergency if you want to, but unless you are currently dying, take a number.
And I'm sorry, you're currently dying? What's your ACA information? I don't have health care. Really? Why didn't you sign up for it? Oh, because we don't believe in it. Next! Send the next motherfucker in. You. Okay. You, teenage white boy that has firecracker burns on your ass. What's your ACA information? Oh, I don't have it. Why not? Because my parents don't believe in it. Next! Okay. What's your ailment? Well, my mother, who's actually my father's sister, gave birth to my cousin's son, and what's happening is we can't stop catching colds. Really? So you're in West Virginia. Okay. So what's your ACA information? Well, we don't believe in that old blacky president's old black man care. Oh, really? Next! Polly!
You know what? You're going to hell. I am not going with you.
Pile their asses up outside in the rain.
And you know what? The states that are willfully refusing to adopt it, their residents need to have to pay a higher premium. And I'm sorry you're being penalized because you have an asshole for a governor. Vote him out.
But wait a minute. There are some governors out there who I thought were ignorant and just stupid for no reason at all. But evidently, they're a lot smarter than I think. Because that heifer in Arizona, woohoo! Did she take her state responsibility for paying for the Affordable Care Act off record by accepting it the federal government money? She goddamn sure did. Happily.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't know what her reasoning is, but knowing her, it had something to do with illegal immigrants.
You mean like Ted Cruz? No, he's from Texas.
I don't think she does anything because it's the right thing to do.
No.
I think she does it for whatever political gain she can get.
I'm just sick with it. I really am. I'm sick with it. I'm sick with the idea. I'm sick with the idea.
No, it is. It's sickening. I mean, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. We're supposed to be the smart ones on the planet. And we're doing a bunch of petty bullshit. It's not right. It's not right. I mean, I think the reason I'm having so much difficulty with it is because I see it as a moral issue and an ethical issue. And it's wrong. It's just wrong.
There are people who are against this who claim to be, again, using the quote fingers, Christian. Right?
Yeah. This is such a Christian thing to do.
And a Christian thing to do is to not stand there. Right.
You're such a good Christian that you are denying people the chance to earn a paycheck. And what happens when these people have to go on aid? Let's say this continues on for so long that people lose their houses or, you know, have to play catch-up with bills and have to start visiting a food bank. Then they're just, you know, drags on society. They don't even understand the working poor. They don't understand that there are people with two full-time jobs that still don't make enough money to feed their family.
Or as your former president would say, put food on their family.
Right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I know it's hard to try to put food on your family.
Yeah, that one was classic. But it's just... I don't understand it.
And I know, you know what? I know we're both riled up, and I know we're very serious and concerned about this issue. But I have to say, something that's been bothering me for 2 weeks, and I haven't brought it up, I need to bring it up now. Let's get this out the way. Reverend Al Sharpton is 5 years older than me.
I know what you're doing. Don't do it.
What am I doing? Go ahead. America,
I'm not going to hell with you.
You listen to this show. You've seen our promo page. You may be friends of ours on Facebook. You may have seen some of our promos on Facebook. You know what I look like. You know what Kamal looks like. You know what some of our guests look like. Reverend Al is 5 years older than me. Now, I don't know what I'm going to look like in 5 years, but I know what Reverend Al looked like 5 years ago.
You know, he was born old.
He was born fat. Let me get this straight right now.
Now, look. I applaud his weight loss.
I applaud his weight loss, too, but goddamn, can you eat that blueberry pie that you were talking about in your promo on MSNBC last year? I mean, the man looks like my great-grandfather.
It didn't
make any sense. It was funny.
What's your mama's blueberry pie got to do with politics?
I love certain things about Reverend Al. But goddamn, bruh. Got to look like... I thought Reverend Al was 67 years old. I ain't gonna lie. when they said the year he was born, I was like, and the devil was a liar. Why are you going to come over here and say you were born?
The devil is a lie. And since you bring that up, that means when the Tawana Brawley stuff went down.
Uh-huh. He was young.
He was like 30 then.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was close to 50.
Right, back then, I thought he was close to 50 because I thought he was 67. I swear to Jesus, I thought the man was 67. He's 56 years old. Ooh. What's it you and Lil TL like to say? Jesus be a fence. If old age is going to hit me like this in 5 years, please, please give a brother a sausage sandwich so I can put some fat on my neck.
But you know what? I think that one of the reasons he's looking so old is because he lost a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when people lose a lot of weight and their face gets a little drawn in,
mm-hmm.
they look a little older.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I ain't buying that. Whatever
you're
selling.
No. Mm-mm. Because he looked old fat. And with that process thing with the hair pullback, and Al, Rev has a lot of intelligent things to say when you get past the process.
Well, if you can get past him mispronouncing everything.
Right.
To this day, I don't know how he messed up Gina de Jesus' name. I just don't know. Gina de Jesus.
But you're not supposed to be coming on Hardball and be 8 years younger than Chris Matthews and look 12 years older than the man. What happened to Black Don't Crack? What? Why can't it's just not right. It's just not right.
I am not going to hell with you.
I'm just saying. A little self-promotion here, end of the show, America. October 20th, 2013, I will be walking in the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure in Maryland, in Timonium, Maryland, again, in honor of one of the most awesome people I ever knew in my life, my friend Delmonica Guidry Hine. And for those who will be walking, I look forward to seeing you there. Those who are walking in your state and wherever you are, God bless you. For those who can't walk, please find somebody who is walking and offer to pledge some money for them or try to do something for this. This disease, you know, before I knew any better, I always screamed, save the tatas, because I was selfish. But this disease is insidious, and even though I've had some issues with the Susan G. Komen organization
Foundation.
A couple years ago, last year.
It was last year.
When they lost their minds for a minute. They do good work, and they got rid of the bullshit that was going on.
And don't forget that, you know, the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
So get your mammograms.
Get your mammograms. Do your self-examinations.
And this is covered under the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, it doesn't go into effect until next year, But, next, you know, do what you got to do this year, but next year it won't cost you anything to get it done.
Not only that, do what you got to do this year so next year you can be here to get something done about it.
That's right.
You know, we laugh, we joke, we have a good time. The show is like one of the highlights of my week. Not only do I get to talk to Kamal about issues that are important to me and should be important to you, America, we get to laugh and joke and enjoy a lot of wonderful things about this country. And we get to talk about a lot of bullshit going on in this country. But,
and don't forget, men get breast cancer too.
Thank you. Men need to check.
Especially if you have boobs like Yale.
I do not have male boobs. I used to have a really great chest. I used to, back in the day when I was like Reverend Al's age, when he was doing the Twan and Brawley stuff, even though he looked like my grandfather at that time, I had a, man, let me tell you something. Yale walked around 154 pounds, soaking wet, and could get down to 148 pounds and participate and win best chest contest and bench press contest. I was pushing weight. I was built. I was young. I had low body fat. Now I don't have man boobs. I don't have moobs, but I've got, like, some stuff that needs to be checked. It don't need to be in a bra, but it needs to be, you know, it's not what it used to be. And, but, you know, we as black men need to be checking a little bit lower. Make sure you get those prostate exams. Make sure you, you know, go in.
Definitely.
And have the doctor schedule you for your colonoscopy.
Yes, I think black men disproportionately end up suffering from prostate issues.
Yes. Why? Because there's a lot of pull on our prostates every day.
You know what? See, I knew you were going there. I didn't even know why I set you up.
You let me do it. You let me do it. You gave it to me. I didn't want to say it. You put it out there. I had to say it. You can't have all that pull going on and you know.
Yeah, okay.
Everything just be regular.
If that's what you're going to do, go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, God.
Don't be mad with me. I'm trying to help you out.
So I just turned on C-SPAN and muted it. I haven't had it on all day. They're on the floor talking about it. I guess they've been on there all day. I didn't have the energy to discuss it. But they're talking about the health care law again. I have it on mute, so I don't know exactly what they're saying. But the fact that they're talking about the health care law and not the government shutdown says all that it needs to say.
Exactly.
I'm disgusted.
But again, Kamal, why are we here? Why are we here, America? We're here because they not only want to rewrite history, and again, I mean, I gotta piggyback on something you said. It's not that they don't want President Obama to have a positive legacy. They don't want him to have a legacy at all. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a true fact. They do not want this man to have any kind of legacy. They want it to be as if he never was elected. He didn't exist.
Oh, and let me tell you something that I just saw from a friend of mine. He sent out a link that is for, is the government, what is it called? Is the U.S. government shutdown.com and the creation date of that domain April 8th, 2011.
Hmm.
There you go.
Hmm.
Somebody bought a domain in anticipation of this 2.5 years ago. I wonder which Republican is behind it.
Hmm. 2011, you say?
Yep. Creation date, April 8th, 2011. That's from the Who Is on GoDaddy. There you go. So this has been in the works much longer than even I thought.
I told you, once it went into effect, and we had to keep pushing things down the line. You know, this was their end game. They thought this man was going to blink. He ain't blinking. Why should he? Why should he? Why should he have to? What makes you think he would?
Damn shame. I hate them all.
Ain't no need to hate them. Vote their asses out of office. And since we can't get to them to vote them off, because most of them aren't officials that we elected or we could vote for, campaign hard against them.
If you're
a Democrat or Republican, campaign against them, because they are campaigning, they are waging a campaign against you.
And I'm in a really, really hard district. My representative is a Republican. His name is Dave Riker. He's the one who, quote unquote, caught the Green River Killer. And the way that my district is gerrymandered is, so it's hard to explain, but my district is about, I would say, 19 miles, 20 miles long. And the south part of that district is blue, purple, but mostly blue. But the top part of the district is called what we call the east side, because it's the east side of the lake. And that's where Microsoft is. And that's where you have those $30 million homes on the lake and the entire campus of Microsoft. So my little section down here, we're competing with money. We're competing with big money. Bill Gates lives in my district. So, you know, we can never get a Democrat. We can never get a Democrat. And
I bet Bill's voting Democrat.
I don't know. But we lucked out a little bit with Riker because he is from the city that I live in. And so he's come down a couple times and he has done good things for the city. But I'm going to fight the good fight, but we might end up with another Republican.
And if you get another Republican, if you get a Republican who's about real Republican values, real Republican, it's no insight, that ain't a bad thing. Because there are Republicans in Congress, in the Senate, that are saying, y'all full of shit. And one of those is John McCain. They know this is true. That's why their ideas are never passed the Senate.
Yeah, but what I need, I don't have a problem with being a Democratic center. I need a Democratic representative.
I got you. But if you got some Democratic, if you got some Republican moderates in the Senate, they can have the House all they want if they vote common sense and vote for the betterment of the country and the populace of the country, not the betterment of their special interests. I'm sick with it. Love you, Kamal. Catch you next week.
Love you too.